Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Channa Vallabha Kirivara Dhari. Gopi Channa Vallabha Kirivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Nandana Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Nandana Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Nandana Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitya Gaur
Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Ashutata Chachashi Shimada Divine Loving Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Rashula Prabhupada Ki Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Ashutata Chachashi Shimada Divine Loving Grace Shula Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Rashula Prabhupada Ki Ananda Goti Vaishnavdin Ki Namacharya Hadas Thakur Ki Prems the Gaur, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Adoita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhattivinanda Ki, Shri Shri Dada, Krishna, Gobi Gobinatha, Shyamakunda, Radha Kunda, Girgavadan Ki, Vrindavana Dama Ki, Mathura Dama Ki, Dwarka Dama Ki, Mayapur Dama Ki, Gungamaya Ki, Jamunamaya Ki, Tulsi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premananda Haribo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 31, Text Number 11. Rajan Prasya Tanu Bridge Janna Janana Janana Pyayeha Janana Pyayeha Maya Idambanam Avehi Avehi Yata Natasya Shishtva Manidam Anuvishya Vihritya Chante Samhritya Chatma Mahino Parata Saaste Rajan Parasya Tanu Bridge Janana Payeha Rajan Parasya Tanu Bridge Janana Pyayeha Maya Vidambanam Avehiyata Natasya Maya Vidambanam Avehiyata Natasya Shrishtva manedam anavishya vihritya chante Shrishtva manedam anavishya vihritya chante Samritya chatma mahino parata saaste Maybe that melody that I'm using is a little difficult with this verse. Let me try another melody here, see if it's a little easier. Rajan parasya tanu bridge tanana pyayeha Maya Vidambanam Avahi yatana tasya. Shishtvat manedam anuvishya vritya chante. Samritya chatma mahino parata saaste. Prajan prasya tanubrij jananapyayeha. Maya vidambanam avahiyata natasya. Shishtavat manedam anuvishya vritya chante. Samritya chatma mahino parata saaste. Please chant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rajan Pradasya Tanubrij Jananapyayeha. Maya Vidambanam Avehi Yatanatasya. Shishtvat manendam anuvishya vritya chante. Samritya chatma mahino parata saaste. Rajan Pradasya Tanubrij Jananapyayeha. Maya Vidambanam Avehi. Yatanata. Chante. Samritya chatma mahino parata saaste. Vaishnavis? Rajan. O King Pariksit. Parasya of the Supreme. Tanubrit, resembling the embodied living beings. Janana, of birth. Apyaya, and disappearance. Iha, the activities. Maya, of his illusory potency. Vidambanam, the false show. Avehi, you should understand. Yata, just as. Natasya, of an actor. Shishtva, creating. Atmana, by himself. Idam, this universe. Anuvishya, entering it. Vihritya, playing. Cha, and. Ante, in the end. Samritya, winding it up. Cha, and. Atma Mahina, with his own glory, Upaurata, having ceased, Sa He Aste remains. Before reading the translation, I'd just like to express my gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for his ability to take each one of these words, every single word, and then find the exact English translation. What a painstaking, tedious, you know, transcendentally tedious service that he did with every single word. You can imagine there's 18,000 slokas, is that correct, in the Srimad Bhagavatam? And you multiply that by how many words, you know, just thousands of words that Srila Prabhupada very laboriously, for the sake of, you know, bringing us this knowledge, undertook this great task. So now I'd like to read the translation. My dear King, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays within it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestation. Translation again, please repeat. My dear King, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy. Just like the performance of an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays within it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestation. Purport by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the so-called fight among the members of the Yadu dynasty was actually a display of the pastime potency of the Lord. Since Lord Krishna's personal associates are never subject to ordinary birth and death like conditioned souls, this being the case, certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is himself is transcendental to material birth and death, as clearly stated in this verse. The word natasya, quote, of an actor or magician, unquote, is significant here. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur tells the following story of a certain magician who exhibits the trick of dying. Quote, in front of a great king, a magician approaches a stock of valuable garments, jewels, coins, and so forth, all placed there by the king. Taking a jeweled necklace, the magician tells the king, now I am taking this necklace, and you can have it. He makes the necklace disappear. Now I'm taking this gold coin, and you can't have it, he says, and makes the gold coin disappear. Next, challenging the king in the same way, the magician makes 7,000 horses disappear. Then the magician creates the illusion that the king's children, grandchildren, brothers, and other family members have attacked each other, and that nearly all are dead from the violent quarrel. The king hears the magicians speaking, and at the same time observes these things taking place before him as he sits in the great assembly hall. Then the magician says, "O king, I no longer wish to live. Just as I have studied magic, so also, by the mercy of the lotus feet of my guru, I have learned the mystic meditation of yoga. One is supposed to give up one's body while meditating in a holy place. And since you have performed so many pious activities, you are a holy place yourself. Therefore, I shall now give up my body." Thus speaking, the magician sits down in the proper yoga posture, fixes himself in pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi, and becomes silent. A moment later, a fire generated from his trance blazes forth out of his body and burns it to ashes. Then all the wives of the magician, up with lamentation, enter into that fire. 3 or 4 days later, after the magician has returned to his own province, he sends one of his daughters to the king. The daughter tells him, "O king, I have just come to your palace, bringing along with me, invisibly, all your sons, grandsons, and brothers in good health, along with all the jewels and other items given by you. Please, therefore, give me whatever you consider fitting remuneration for the wisdom of the magic that has been exhibited before you." In this way, unquote, in this way, even by ordinary magic, one can simulate birth and death. It is not difficult to understand, therefore, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although transcendental to the laws of nature, exhibits his illusory potency so that ordinary fools will think the Lord has left his body like a human being. Actually, Lord Krishna returned to his abode in his own eternal body, as confirmed throughout the Vedic literature. Om Aganata Mirandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshu Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Padkamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana ragana tang vitang tang sujivam sadvaitang sabadutang parajana sahitang krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri visakang vitangsta shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare I'll read the translation again. Lord Krishna brought the son of his guru. I'm sorry. That's the next one. Translation. My dear king, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. after creating this universe, he enters into it, plays within it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains situated in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestation. Hare Krishna. So this morning we are hearing from the 11th canto, chapter 31, about the disappearance of the Lord. And we're hearing that when the Lord appears, he's just like an actor on a stage. Just like if you go to a theater and you see, you know, there's so many people, artists have come together to create an illusion. Basically, they're creating a slice of life or a slice of some other event in life or in some other world. And they're creating the illusion that you are there in that moment. And they have the beautiful costumes, and they have the beautiful scenery, and they have the beautiful the drama itself. It's all there to captivate the mind of the audience. So similarly, Lord Krishna, he comes to this world and he creates a drama. And we are his audience. And the purpose of his appearing in this world is to charm our hearts, to captivate our souls, so that we will once again be willing to engage in loving relationship with the Lord. In one of the five transcendental rasas, primary rasas, there's actually 12 rasas that one can engage in devotional service, but there are five, and from those five, once those are established, and there may be mixtures of the other seven. So this is, it's interesting in this chapter how the Lord is disappearing, and then later on we hear about how Arjuna, he takes shelter when the Lord disappears. He takes shelter by remembering the Lord, by hearing the Lord's pastimes. So the Lord comes, he performs a drama, and those who are present during the performance of that drama are either liberated to the spiritual world or advance in their spiritual journey immediately. And then, after the Lord leaves, he also leaves the opportunity for us to participate in those pastimes by hearing about those pastimes. So it explains that the pastimes of the Lord are like a transcendental roadshow. Just like when the sun, it rises in the east, right? That means it's also setting somewhere else in the world. Like we see the sun rising this morning, but there are people now on the other side of the globe, and they're, as we're seeing the sun rise, they're seeing the sun set. So similarly, the Lord, his pastimes, even though they may have appeared to be setting within our vision, that he's disappeared, but they are rising somewhere else. In the material universe. And this is an eternal occupation of the Lord as long as this cosmic manifestation is in existence, to continually engage in these dramas to attract us to his lotus feet. And it explains in the Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me devyam evam yobeti tatpataha. Takva dehan punar janma naiti mati disarjuna. Like Krishna tells Arjuna, he says, One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So it reminds me of when I read this, upon leaving the body, reminded me of a poem. My mother lived in New Vrindavan for 20 years. And when she passed away from this world, she asked, before passing away, she asked my daughter to read a poem that was one of her favorite poems. And I just thought, in the context of this verse, I thought I would read this poem because it helps to illustrate to us the need for taking shelter of the Lord by hearing his pastimes so we can prepare ourselves for that hour of death. As Krishna explains in the second chapter, Eishi Brahmistiti Partha Nainam Papimuniti Sivasam Antkalepi Brahma Nirvana Richati. He says that being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So this is the last verse of the second chapter. So the whole second chapter, Krishna is preparing us for that hour of death. So in that sense, we can understand that every second, every minute, every hour of our life is in preparation for that last hour of death. When we can actually, where all the fruits of our spiritual life take effect and help assist our soul in returning home back to Godhead. So this is a poem written by a British poet. Name is Dylan Thomas. Says, do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright, their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight, and learned too late, they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into the good night. Grave men near death, who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors at and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. So in the poem, what I found was most striking, or most striking. I don't think striking is a word. Most striking was the refrain. Do not go gentle into the good night. Rage, rage, rage against the dying of the light. And we can reflect that the moment will come when we'll experience that dying of the material light, right? That we'll become blind, and the functions of the body cease to perform properly. But by the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, by hearing and chanting and taking shelter of the Lord's holy pastimes, we are cultivating that inner light. So here in the poem, the poet, he enumerates the different types of human beings that are rage, that are anger at the time of death. You know there's the Gyani, the wise man, who wanted to make some thunderous statement, some illuminating statement that would change the course of humanity, but You know, they're never because they're not taking shelter of the words of the Lord, Supreme Lord. They're never able to make those illuminating statements, right? Or the person, the philanthropist who does good deeds. So many times they realize that their good deeds are so futile in this world of so much hypocrisy and so much evil. In so many ways, so all these different types of human beings, they are raging, they are angry. So does anyone not rage at the dying of the light? And that is the devotees. Because they have faith in the Supreme Lord, they have faith that the Lord and His name are non-different. It's like there's a beautiful verse in the Padma Purana. It says, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaha Purna Shodho Nichimukto Binatvam Nami Namino. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful because it bestows all spiritual benedictions, because it is Krishna Himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete and is the form of all transcendental mellow. It is not a material name under any circumstance and is no less powerful than Krishna Himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of it being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna Himself are identical. So the devotee has firm faith by taking shelter of the Lord in His pastimes, even when the Lord disappears, that he will personally associate with the Lord, because he understands that the Lord, His name, His fame, His activities are all the same. So therefore, at that hour of death, he's able to, when there's a dying of that light, he's able to recognize the Lord's presence, the light of the Lord, the unlimited pastimes of the Lord. The light is just one feature of the Lord. This is what the monists and the impersonalists are attracted to. But beyond that light is the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So I thought I'd like to share today a story of one of the pastimes from one of the Lord's dramas. When the Lord came, one of his dramas, he came as Rama, actually. Sometimes a devotee was joking with me that all drama comes from Rama. So this is a pastime when Lord Ram was in the forest searching for Sita. As we all know, he made an alliance with the Vanaras. And the Vanaras were headed by the king, by King Sugriva. And Lord Ram, he made a pact. He made he formed an alliance with Sugriva, that if you help me find Sita, I'll help you regain your wife and regain. Is that the Lord is transcendental? That the Lord, just like. He always, as we mentioned earlier, he's always performing dramas to attract the conditioned souls back to the spiritual sky. So he's always engaging in activities to exchange in loving reciprocal relationship with the devotees. So this pastime of the Lord being separated from Sita was just another means of him experiencing the feelings of separation and coming to and meeting with his beloved expansion of his internal potency. Whereas on the other hand, we can say that perhaps Sugriva, he was more on a mundane level. You know, he was wanting to get his kingdom back. But even though he approached the Lord with some material motive, the Lord was so kind that he engaged him in his service. And even though Sugriva approached the Lord with an idea of getting something in return, he became purified of that desire, and ultimately came to the stage of pure unalloyed devotion. He made a pledge to Lord Ram that he would help him find Sita, and it was decided that they would go search for Sita after the 4 months of the rainy season. But unfortunately, Sugriva became absorbed in worldly pleasures and sensuous delights. And his mind became distracted. He became forgetful. And he began to enjoy drinking Varuni, this beverage made of honey. And he began enjoying with his she-monkeys, his queens, Tara and Ruma. And in this way, he became totally so absorbed in sensual delights that he forgot his duty to the Lord. So the Lord Ram, he waited for Sugriva. And he did not come. And he was waiting and waiting. And he became angry. This Sugriva, he's not fulfilling his promise. So he ordered Lakshman to go and find out what is going on. Why is not Sugriva coming? You know. And Lakshman was so angry when he heard the Lord's distress, he decided, yes, I will also, when I see him, I will kill him. And Ram said, no. When you see Sugriva, talk to him kindly and try to reason with him. So Lakshman went. And he came before, when he came to Kishkinda, the kingdom of Sugriva, he was twanging his bow and the Vanaras heard him walking and his angry mood, and they became very fearful. So Angada, the prince, regent, he came before Lakshman and he pleased, offered his respectful obeisances. And Lakshman said, "Where is Sugriva?" So Angada, he took Sugriva into the, I'm sorry, took Lakshman into Sugriva's bedchambers. And at that time, you know, Sugriva was completely naked. All he had was flower garlands on. And his eyes were red from staying up all night and drinking a Varuni beverage. He was still somewhat intoxicated. He was there in his palatial bedroom with his beautiful queens. And he immediately got up. He went before Lord Ram and he offered his humble obeisances. And then Tara came before Lakshman and she pacified him, saying, "Please, you know, understand my husband. He's just a monkey, you know, and he's not able to. He was forgetful. He became distracted from his duty to Ram. But now he realizes his mistake, and now he's called forth. He's recruited thousands, millions of Vanara monkeys to come and help Ram find Sita. So please forgive him." And actually explained that Sugriva sent Tara to speak with Lakshman first, because he knew that Lakshman would be pacified if he would never become angry in front of a woman. So he sent Tara to Lakshman. And so when Lakshman saw Tara, his anger somewhat subsided. But then when he saw Sugriva again in his state, in his forgetful state, he became angry again. And he forgot what Lord Rama told him to do, and he began to chastise him. He says, "How dare you do this? You know, you are so sinful. You are so ungrateful. You know, Ram has made you the king, and yet You've ignored him. So you deserve to die. Right? Ram will come and punish you. And with his arrows, he will kill you and send you to the place where he sent your brother Vali. You will meet Vali in the kingdom of death. But then Sugriva, and of course, he humbly apologized. He begged forgiveness. So this is actually a very instructive, even for devotees as ourselves. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we due to being distracted by the material energy, we forget to follow the instructions of the Lord. But because the devotee is penitent at heart, because the devotee is sincere, they realize their mistake and they pick up and they keep on going. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the third chapter of the purport in the Bhagavad Gita, the 31st text. He says, in the beginning, one may not be able to follow all the instructions of the Lord. But if one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely, without consideration of hopelessness or defeat, he is sure to reach the supreme perfection. So it's not that a devotee, of course the Lord is all merciful and the devotee recognizes this feature of the Lord, but he does not try to take advantage of that. In other words, this is like the seventh offense against the holy name is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. So the devotee does not think, well, I'll commit some mistake, but because the Lord is forgiving, he'll forgive me. No, that is not being sincere. The devotee, even though sometimes by circumstance or by conditioning, he may make a mistake, he recognizes that and he prays sincerely to the Lord to please take these anarthas out of my heart. Only by your grace, only by your mercy, can I become free from these sinful desires. Actually, it explains in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 70, the Prabhupada says in the purport there that even if material desires are present, the material desires may be present in the heart of a pure devotee, right? But he says, he has completely lost all inclination to follow those desires. So as long as this material body is there, yes, there may be material desires. But a devotee, he recognizes them for what they are. And he's completely has no inclination whatsoever to try and satisfy those material desires. Because he realizes his only shelter is to take shelter of the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's holy name, the service to the Lord's devotees. This is his greatest wealth and his greatest happiness, is engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. So I think we'll stop here. I'd like to thank everyone for their kind attention and their presence. Your presence here is a great present to me. I feel this is a great gift. To have the association, the greatest gift is actually have the association of devotees. And why is that? Because obviously devotees are developing their love for God. And anyone who's developing their love for God, that helps inspire me in coming closer to Krishna. So every devotee has this wealth that they're trying to come closer to Krishna. And by that attempt, they're influencing others around them. So let's thank all the devotees for their presence. Thank you for all the devotees who are here in separation, engaging in so many wonderful services behind the scenes. Are there any questions or comments or reflections anyone would like to share? Yes, Prabhu? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last sentence. Yes, that's a very wonderful point you're bringing up. It's so true. For those, I don't know if you heard or listening long distance, but the question was that, so what is your name, Bibo? Avi Ram Prasad? Oh, Balaram Prasad. Oh, yes, Hare Krishna, Bibo. Sorry, I forgot, yeah. Yes. Balaram Prasad Prabhu asked the question that Sugriva was on the planet when Lord Ram was present, and even when Lord Ram was present, he was forgetful of his duty, and he was forgetful of the position of the Lord. So similarly, what is the hope for us? Correct me if I'm wrong here. What is the position of us? How can we always remember the Lord if it's not possible for Sugriva, who was in the presence of the Lord, and we are not? But this is the a great question, because actually, when we're chanting the holy name of the Lord, we are in the presence of the Lord. But we're thinking we're not when we're in a conditioned state. Just like Sugriva, he was also in the presence of the Lord, but he became forgetful. So even in the presence of the Lord, just like we become forgetful that Krishna is not different from his name, we're thinking that Krishna is like some absolute, it's like some relative a name, right? Like a material name. We place material conceptions, our material conceptions, on the absolute nature of Krishna's name. We think, okay, if I chant the material word water, 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 it doesn't quench my thirst. But we become forgetful that actually Krishna's name is absolute and totally spiritual. It is not, just like it says in the Padma Purana, Nama Chintamani Krishna Sya Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, it is not a material name under any circumstance. So because it's not a material name under any circumstance, that means it does not have any of the material qualities of material names. It is totally spiritual. Krishna's name and Krishna are identical. So, of course, how to get that, how do we come to that level of realizing that? That was the great question. And ultimately, it's by Krishna's mercy. You know? But we get that mercy when we serve his devotees. Krishna becomes very, very pleased. It says that Krishna is pleased with two things, a humble spirit and service attitude. And we see in the pastimes of the gopis when they were enchanted by Krishna's flute, and they came to the forest of Vrindavan to dance with Krishna. And then Krishna at first, you know, he tried to convince them to go back home, but the gopis were so heartbroken, and finally Krishna relented to their desire, and they went along the banks of the Jamuna, and Krishna and the gopis were strolling together. They were enjoying each other's company. But then the gopis became proud. They started thinking, oh, Krishna is with me alone. I am so fortunate. And as soon as they had that thought, even though Krishna had expanded himself to be with each and every one of the gopis, and each gopi was thinking, oh, Krishna is with me alone. And as soon as they thought that, just like lightning, right, Krishna disappeared. Right? You know. And Prabhupada explains, Srila Prabhupada explains that, like, the Lord does not like to see his devotees to ever become proud in any situation. Doesn't it? Even if we get the greatest mercy, we should not think, oh, it is because of me that I've gotten this great mercy. Just like we've been given so much great mercy by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Just like when Lokanath Maharaj was here, he was talking so beautifully about rasa, right? And I was reading recently in one book by Satsuru Maharaj that before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, there was only two rasas, you know, expressed in religion, in spiritual traditions of this world. There was the rasa of neutrality, and there was the rasa of servitorship, dasya rasa. Just like we talked about Hanuman and dasya rasa. But it wasn't until Hanuman, I'm sorry, we talked about Sugriva and Dasya Rasa. It wasn't until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and revealed the pastimes of Vrindavan, that we were given access to the other rasas, that we can engage with the Lord. So, to answer your question, Balarama Prasadabhu, I think you could probably answer it as well. By serving devotees, as you already are doing in so many different ways, but also taking shelter, just like we spoke earlier, taking shelter of the pastimes. Because then when we read these pastimes of the Lord, then everything becomes more illuminated. You know, the chanting of the holy name, the association and service to the Vaishnavas, it all takes on a transcendental quality. So we have to be like the sprow, right? The Prabhupada says in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the little sprow, she wanted to get her eggs back. They were taken by the ocean. So she became so determined, I'm going to take out one drop of the ocean. I'm going to dry you up, O mighty ocean. I don't care how big you are. I'm going to dry you up. Even though I have a small beak, even though I'm so tiny compared to you, I don't care. I'm going to keep on taking out drops of water until you are dried up. Right? And she was fixed in her determination. And she kept at it year after year after year until finally she attracted the power of Garuda. So similarly, the devotee realizes, if I can continue with this process, continue with chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every time we chant, it's like going to that ocean and taking on a drop of water, and we're thereby attracting the higher power of the Supreme Lord. Would you like to share some thoughts on that before? Thanks, okay. Any more thoughts or questions? Yes, Manoji? Yes? Okay. Right. Well, thank you very much. Mother Rajeshri asked a wonderful question that just like when the gopis were with Krishna, they became proud. Then Krishna disappeared. So how do we know? How do we check ourselves so we're not proud? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a very simple, he gave us a gift in the fourth verse. I'm sorry, the third verse of the Shikshastika prayers. He said this verse is a necklace and we should always wear this necklace around our necks. Right? Does anyone know this verse I'm referring to? Yes. Chanadapi. We all probably know. Let's chant it together. Chanadapi sunichena todorapi sishnuna amanina manadena kitniyaksada hari. So every morning when we wake up, when we go before the mirror and we put on our tilak, we should also put this necklace on. Okay? To realize that one can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. So as soon as we think, you know, this is how we, and this is our checklist, right? As soon as I think that I'm more important than the straw on the street, right? we know that we're infected by a subtle form of pride, right? A straw on the street does not care if anyone ignores him, right? Did you ever see a straw on the street complain that someone ignored? Oh, that person just walked by me. They paid me no attention. How dare they do that? Oh, straws never do that, right? And similarly, you know, devotee doesn't expect any respect in return. Right? Instead, the devotee is always ready to offer respects to others. You know? He's not a fruit of, you know, some people, you know, in the material world, we give respect because we want something in return. It's a form of fruit of activity, right? But a devotee is totally free from fruit of activity because fruit of activity is a distraction. It takes our mind away from the holy name. When we're chanting, if we're thinking about some, enjoying the fruits of some activity, that's distracting us from Krishna. So in the same way, a devotee has no desire to get anything in return except the opportunity to serve. Birth after birth. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, O son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. So if, as long as our aspiration is just to become like an atom, right? An insignificant atom, right? In the service of the Lord, then we can check our pride. But it requires, you're right, I'm always forgetting. I'm sure we've all experienced moments in our lives when we forget. So it just requires constant reminding each other. All right, Krishna. Sorry about that. See, just like the cell phone, right? You go on the trails. Oh, I'm sorry, this is the last point. I don't want to take up much of your time, but you go on the trails, like Santa Fe Trail or the Katy Trail, and you see people on their iPhones, right? They're not walking, but they're always on our iPhones, But we never hear. Here we are with enjoying the beautiful nature, but we can't because we can't disconnect ourselves, We can't put this. We can't turn the cell phone off. We have some mission, some desire to fulfill. So similarly, when we're chanting the holy name, we're on the cell phone with our mind. The mind is like our cell phone. We're in there like talking to our about our material desires. I want this. I want that. I want this. Right. So we can't experience. That rasa that Krishna wants to engage with us in. I hope that was that helpful. Oh yes, the checklist. Yes, we have to. Yeah, come up with our. And I'm sure each of one of you can share with me your own individual checklists. Humble and belated guys, more tolerant than a tree, right? We're not tolerant, and we're also proud. We're not ready to give respects to everyone. That means we're still proud. Anyway, thank you so much for your association, Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Kala Kanji ki, Vaishnava Sangha ki, Gaur Premananda Hari Bhagavatam.